Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
But you know, in the book Revelation, last book in the Bible, in the New Testament, one that comes with a blessing, if you read it, mm-hmm. and wonderful revelation. We learn about the epic battle that's going to occur, mm-hmm. Armageddon, and before Jesus is coming, second coming, and in the Megiddo Valley, it's just, I mean, you think about all nations that will turn on Israel. It is amazing to think about that. When you say amazing, it's just like, really, is it? But we're seeing remnants of that happening now. We're seeing nations, mm-hmm. turn their back on Israel, but every nation. And I want you to watch and to listen to Asher Intrator. He's a director of Revive Israel Ministries. He's a pastor of two congregations in Israel. And he does a really fabulous job as he's being interviewed, breaking down what he sees are benchmarks, if you will, as we are approaching the day of Armageddon. We're going to jump right into this interview that was done by CBN. You're going to listen to Asher's. He kind of breaks down some of the things that are happening right now in the Middle East and how kind of it all fits into the bigger picture, if you will, and how we are living in biblical days. This is, mm-hmm. biblical prophecy. You know, watch this.
And joining us now is Asher Intrator. He's the director of Revive Israel Ministries and the pastor of two congregations, one in Jerusalem and one in Tel Aviv. He's also the author of numerous books about Israel and its role in history. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Evan.
First off, why is anti-Semitism so rampant throughout history?
Well, the issue of anti-Semitism is actually a very deep subject spiritually. Jewish people often ask the question, why does everybody hate us? Why is everybody against us? As the old joke goes, if we're the chosen people, why don't you choose somebody else for a while? But really, we believe that there's a spiritual root to anti-Semitism. Mm-hmm. It has to do with a similar spirit to hating Jesus. Because after all, Jesus is Jewish, and the Jewish people are the sons of Abraham. God has a covenant promise to preserve our people, and therefore the very fact of our existence is a proof of the Bible. So the spiritual forces that are against the Bible and against God and even against Jesus want to destroy that. Mm. There's a difference between anti-Semitism in the world, say that you might find in Europe or in radical Islam, but there has also been a type of anti-Semitism within the church. And there's different aspects of that. There's one aspect that's even a bit of jealousy. Here we're saying Jesus, the Son of God, we're all to worship him, and yet he's also a Jew on the human side. Mm-hmm. On the spiritual side, on the other way, there's a hatred against God's covenant. There are promises in the Bible that for Jesus to return and set up his kingdom upon the earth, there must be Jewish people in Israel, in Jerusalem, inviting him to come back. So there, everything that would be against the return of Jesus is also against the return of the Jewish people to the land and faith in Jesus among the Jewish people there.
Wow, so that begs the question, is that why Israel is under attack right now on so many different fronts?
Well, I do believe there is a spiritual root to all those attacks. If you look today in Israel, surrounding the nation, on the south and west side, you have Hamas, which in Gaza, which is not just Gaza, it's really funded by Iran and Qatar and supported by Turkey. In the north, you have Hezbollah in Lebanon. You have Al-Qaeda forces now coming through Syria to the Israeli border and the ISIS forces coming out of Iraq toward Jordan, toward Israel. So you see the focus of international Islamic extremism and jihad focused on this nation. And we believe there are demonic roots to that, mm-hmm. again, which has to do with trying to stop the second coming of Jesus, because he is to return to Jerusalem, to return to Israel. And the promises of God in the covenants in the past and the, mm-hmm. end times prophecies in the future have to do with Israel. And so there is a spiritual attack on Israel because of the promises in the Bible. I'd have to say that most of the Jewish people, though, don't know why that is. Mm. It's a mystery. They say, well, maybe this is just part of being the chosen people, that there's always this anti-Semitism. But the forces in the world that would be against God, in my opinion, against the Judeo-Christian Bible, mm-hmm. would be against Israel as well, because there's promises in the Bible about the Jewish people and about Israel. The same Bible that promises us forgiveness of sins and eternal life through Jesus also promise the eternal existence of the Jewish people and the return of the Jewish people to the land of Israel. So it's the same spiritual warfare on different fronts.
Mm, we see the explanation played out in Scripture, but I'd like you to just expound. Why is it so important for Christians to stand with Israel and the Jewish people?
Well, I think that goes to a very deep question about what does it mean to be a Christian? Mm. To be a Christian, you are believing in Jesus. His Hebrew name is Yeshua. He's the son of David. He is not only the head of the church, he is also the king of Israel. And we believe by the very fact when someone becomes a believer in Jesus, he becomes spiritually part of the greater household of Israel, of the spiritual sons of Abraham, loyalty to David. I don't think that you can actually really be a believer in Jesus without feeling spiritually attached to this nation, because the Messiah is the King, the Christ. He is connected with Israel. And so there is a spiritual link between all Christians and the nation of Israel. Mm. One thing that's very interesting that we've noticed over the last years, and it's just been really the past 10, 12 years or so, a historic change in the attitude of the Jewish people within Israel. Instead of looking at Christians around the world as their enemies, mm-hmm. for the first time they're saying our only friends in the world are evangelical Christians. They don't even really know what that means as evangelical Christians, but they see the nations of the world and the United Nations and Islamic Jihad turning against them. And our people say, but we have friends. We're aware of this. In every nation of the world, there's a group of people that call themselves evangelical Christians, and they love us. We don't know why they do, mm-hmm. but we'll take any friends we can get. And there's a new union and cooperation between the nation of Israel and evangelical Christians around the world that I think is very biblical and very covenantal, according to as we understand our faith.
And speaking of Christians around the world, does this cause a conflict for Arab Christians?
The Arab Christians, particularly in Israel and in the Palestinian territories, have a very difficult place to stand. We as Jewish believers in Jesus, Messianic Jews in Israel, and with our Arab Christian friends, we all know that we are one, that we are brothers and sisters spiritually in Jesus, and we all love one another. Among the Arab Christians, there's a real spectrum of how they view Israel. Some of them are very pro-Israel, pro-Zionist. Some of them are extremely pro-Zionist. And some of them have incorporated more of a Palestinian, almost Islamic narrative as part of their faith. And so in that spectrum, there is areas of disagreement with us mm-hmm. and sometimes friction. But that's also friction between them. And I feel that we as Jewish believers in Jesus in Israel, we need to be compassionate and sympathetic in understanding the difficulty of their position, and at the same time emphasize our oneness together in Jesus, and yet also say, but the promises of the Bible, God's covenants with Israel, are true regardless of the difficulty of the political situation. So we stand in that balance of mm-hmm. wanting to affirm the absolute promises of God and His plan for Israel in the end times, and yet reaching out in love and unity with our Arab brothers and sisters who are believers in Jesus.
Beautiful. Now, you say there are two prerequisites for the Lord's return. What are they?
Well, when we look at that, Jesus said that the gospel of the kingdom, Matthew 24, must be preached in all of the world, and then the end will come. So we're all committed to seeing every nation in the world have a chance to receive forgiveness of sins and eternal life through Jesus. That was chapter 24. But the chapter before that, chapter 23, he said to the Jews in Jerusalem, but you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So I see these as two prerequisites, the completion of the Great Commission, world evangelism, and also the reestablishment of a remnant of Jewish believers in Jesus in the land of Israel. When that happens together, there's a double invitation, Maranatha and Baruch Haba. Come, Lord Jesus, and bless us he who comes in the name of the Lord.
You're a Bible scholar, historian, and a pastor of two congregations. Are you seeing more Jewish people putting their faith in Jesus as the Messiah?
Well, certainly through the whole past 40 years, since the time of 67 and 73 wars, where Jerusalem was recaptured, according to the prophecies in the New Covenant, Jewish people would be separated from Jesus and gone into exile. But when Jerusalem would return to the hand of the Jews, there would be a shifting in the plan of God from the time of the Gentiles coming back and moving toward Israel. And both Jesus and Paul said that at that time, Jewish people would start to come back to faith in Jesus in numbers. And we saw that starting in the United States in the 1980s, afterwards in the 90s from the former Soviet Union. And now there's a movement of faith within Israel. It's still small in numbers. I would not call it a revival yet, as some people do. But it is a steady increase from almost nothing 40 years ago to or very small numbers to today. We have over 100 Messianic Jewish congregations in Israel today. It's amazing, even larger than the conservative Jews and Reform Jews in Israel. It's a community there. And we do suffer a good deal of persecution, but that comes with part of being in the faith.
Why do you suppose this growth is happening?
Well, I think it was the plan of God from the very beginning. God wanted the gospel first to come to our people in Israel 2,000 years ago. Then our nation was destroyed, our people exiled for almost 2,000 years while the gospel was given a chance to spread to every nation of the world. Why? Because God loves every person, every people group in the world. It's not just to be a Jewish Israeli faith, but to go to the whole world. But now that 2,000 years have come and there's been a chance for everyone here, God is gathering the Jewish people back to the land, both for us to have another chance as a nation to hear the gospel and also to get ready for him to come back. Because if Jesus is to come back to this planet, he's got to come back somewhere. Mm-hmm. And the Holy Spirit can be poured on anywhere in the world at the same time.
Absolutely.
But if Jesus is going to come back and his feet are going to touch down on the Mount of Olives and walk across and come in on a white horse into Jerusalem, there has to be Jerusalem there. And there have to be people there to receive him. And we're there getting ready not only to see our people come to faith, as it's promised that all Israel will be saved, but also to welcome the king to come back into Jerusalem and set up his kingdom upon the earth.
Mm-hmm. Now, you said you wouldn't quite call it a revival just yet, but how significant is this movement?
Well, the numbers are increasing all the time. When I say it's not a revival, I mean we haven't seen an outbreak of enormous numbers. And yet there's been a steady increase. I believe that this group, although small, is spiritually significant. For one thing, it confirms all of the covenant promises of God to be faithful to our people. He says, after 2,000 years, God is still faithful. If God is faithful to our people, he can be faithful to you personally and to me personally. Mm-hmm. So there's a faithfulness involved. But also, it's important to understand the plan of Israel. When Paul spoke of understanding the predestined plan of God for the nation of Israel, he said that if you look at the unbelieving majority of the nation, the politicians, the rabbis, and so on, you will misunderstand. He said, but you need to look at the remnant. In every generation, there is a remnant. And that remnant holds the promises, the DNA of the kingdom of God within that. And so we look at the nation of Israel through the prism, through the lens of the believing remnant, which we think you should do in every nation of the world. If you look at China, you don't look at China just through the communist regime. You look at it also through the underground church in China. Mm-hmm. And so we believe this little group has a hold upon the eternal promises of God for the rest of our nation, even though we're a tiny minority. That's the first thing. And secondly, it's a strategic location, a link of the connection between the international church and the nation of Israel, which are to be partners. As Jesus himself is both the head of the church and the king of Israel, the link between them is this little tiny group, or this remnant, this messianic remnant in the land of Israel. So although it's small and weak, we believe it plays a significant strategic position in the purposes of God.
Mm-hmm. How do you think Israel and Jerusalem fit into Middle East prophecy?
Well, actually, I think all of the prophecies about the end times are focused on Israel and Jerusalem.
Wow.
If you see it, the prophecies indicate very clearly that right before Jesus comes back, there will be a massive attack of all the nations of the world against Israel and against Jerusalem. We see that alignment coming today of the nations of the world, the international media, Islamic extremism, that's coming forward. And although we would like to have peace now, There's not going to be a real peace at this stage of the development of the plan. Ultimately, this will result in a massive attack, and whether you want to call that Gog and Magog or Armageddon or the Battle of the End Times, it will, all the prophecies of the end times end up in an international attack on Israel, and that's what prompts the return of Jesus, who comes back to save his people, to save his capital city. Let's not forget that Jerusalem was founded by David, who was Jesus' great-great-great-great-grandfather. It's his city. He's coming back to take his capital city back and to destroy the attacks of evil that have come against and raise the dead and start the kingdom of God on earth from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, even to the ends of the earth. In the same place, the pattern of the gospel going forth from Jerusalem to the ends of the earth is also the foundation for what the kingdom of God will be after Jesus returns. His capital will be in Jerusalem, and it will extend peace and prosperity and love to all the nations of the world.
Wow. Would you say that the global chaos, particularly in the Middle East that we're seeing now, do you think those are signs of the end times?
Oh, certainly. I think any of the prophets that you read, whether they're Old Testament prophecies, whether they're the prophecies of Jesus on the Mount of Olives or in the epistles and even the book of Revelation, they're all indicating this movement, both for good and bad, that the gospel went out to the nations of the world, begins to return, and the focus as we get closer to the second coming of Jesus, the focus, both good and bad, in the church, in the forces against the church, all forces for Israel, against Israel, the focus begins to come. And we see that today, and even in the news media, in the United Nations. Why is the Islamic Jihad all focused on fighting against Israel? So this is all, and it's bringing all the eyes of the world to this location, as I say, to set the stage for the coming of Yeshua, to return and take up his kingdom. And God is setting it all in place to be get ready for that great event.
What do you think the mission of the global church should be at this time in our history?
Well, I don't think it's just one mission. As I see it, the gospel went out from Jerusalem to the ends of the world. While that was happening, the focus was to move outward from Jerusalem all the way out to Hawaii, to Japan, to California, to India. And while that was happening, there was really no need for the nation of Israel to be there. And God in his sovereignty, and because of our sin, allowed our nation to be destroyed and our people scattered while the gospel was going out. But in these last 100 years, as the world evangelism is reaching the ends of the world, there's a movement of coming back, of restoration, of unity. And as the Jewish people are coming back to the land of Israel, there is a spiritual parallel of a movement of unity within the body of Christ. They're connected. As the Jewish people were scattered, the gospel went to the ends of the world. Now as they begin to come back, there's a movement of unity within the body of Christ. And this is all coming to move back to the stage that not only is Israel reestablished as a nation, but we do believe that a great revival is underway there because it's promised that all Israel will be saved. And those are those events coming in as we move closer to the second coming of Jesus. So we do believe completion of world evangelism, the unity and fullness of the church. And then as the church comes to its fullness, the Bible says that the church will begin to get a revelation about what God's purpose is of Israel. It's almost like that's the last revelation of the church. As the gospel reaches the end of the world, the church comes to its fullness and it says, wait a minute, we have a spiritual sister, a spiritual brother here in Israel. And as the eyes of the church are opened about God's purpose to Israel, that also allows an understanding about the second coming of Jesus. I say this about that if you look at end times prophecies, there's a lot of confusion. And I say it's almost like a problem of you have an airplane and an airport. If Jesus is the airplane, but Jerusalem, Israel is the airport. And if you see Jesus and Jerusalem, it's very simple to understand how the plane lands. But if you look to Jesus, as much of the church does, and doesn't see Israel, you have a plane circling with nowhere to land. The Jewish people, if you see the airport, Jerusalem, and nothing's landing, you don't know why it's there. But when you put the two together, Israel and the church, Jesus, the airplane coming down to land in the airport, it just, everything seems to fit together and the pieces come together.
Beautiful. Your insight is both an inspiration and reminder for us of who is in control. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Evan.
Much appreciated.
Amazing. That was so good. You were watching Asher Intrator, he's the director of Revive Israel Ministries, as he was just I mean, that was amazing.
Intense.
Yeah.
Very good.
So rich and so full of what is happening right now and the importance of why we need to stand with Israel. Mm-hmm. Why Israel is the center of biblical prophecy and Jerusalem. I mean, I think about when I was in Israel, or you were in Israel, and just to think, my goodness, Jesus is not only the head of the church, but he is the king of Israel.
Right.
And he is coming back. The question is, are you going to be ready? You can be ready for his second coming. And we're listening to Asher Intrator, the director of Revive Israel Ministries, as he was being interviewed on CBN. And it was really, you know, awesome to hear him just...
On CBN?
CBN, yes, mm-hmm. What I said.
I thought you said CNN.
No, CBN. It was awesome to hear him say all the just wonderful things that he was speaking about, especially in relations to Israel and the Jewish people. And one of the things that he said is that, you know, for the first time, the Jews are seeing Christians as their friends, are seeing them more than ever as those that are going to stand with them. And it reminded me of what we shared previously on VFN TV, where we talked about the four turning points that the Lord showed James Gall, four strategic turning points. And one of them he saw was that the Middle East was a boiling cauldron. And in that, he saw basically all these nations and everything coming against Israel. And he was basically inquiring of the Lord, who is the nation? Who's going to stand with Israel? And basically, and I'm paraphrasing, and you could see all of this be related for you on the torch. Basically, the Lord shows him there is a nation, and he realizes that the nation is the church. You know, it's the church that's going to stand with Israel. And I want to encourage you, there's been some sort of replacement theology that tries to replace the promises for Israel to the church. Listen, Israel has its own promises from God. And we want to bless the Jewish people, and we want to be there for them and be their friends. And it is to our benefit that they come to the full revelation of who the Messiah is. Mm-hmm. You know, the whole world, his eyes is focused on Israel. And you think about how small this nation is, smaller than the state of New Jersey, or about the same size, right smack dab, kind of in the center of the world. If you look at your world map, I mean, it's like almost dead center. And why all this attention on such a small little country? I mean, there's how many other little countries are there? Look at all the other territories in the Caribbean. Look at Guam. Look at why? Because listen, it's about what Jesus is getting ready to do on the face of the earth. And we want to encourage you, be ready for that day.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.